Pubcast.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
The law and climbing that ladder, even becoming a federal administrative law judge in Washington, D.C. And then my son passed away. My 27-year-old son passed away of a heroin overdose, and it changed everything. And sometimes we talk about death being a doorway, illness being a doorway. And for me, it was a doorway into a spiritual world that I really had turned my back on. I really didn't want much to do with traditional religion. I didn't want much to do. I figured, you know, alive is alive, dead is dead.
Welcome to the Liberated Healer Podcast, where we touch on a variety of topics in the world of spirituality, energetic healing, and everything in between and beyond. Take an adventure on a shooting star with your hosts, Gina and Linnea, offering their wisdom, guidance, and everlasting love and support. Hi, everybody. My name is Gina Cavalier, and this is the Liberated Healer Podcast. And I am so excited today. I've been waiting for months to meet this lovely being, Karen Johnson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gina. Thank you for having me.
So I'm just going to give you a little bit of a highlight of her background, and we can let her get into explaining her journey. She is a federal judge who left a lifetime appointment after a death of her son due to an unfortunate drug overdose. And then she found her healing path through grief and loss, and is now a shaman and working in that whole energetic space, which is why I'm so attracted to this story, because it's such the opposite dichotomy. And to see that you have been able to kind of transition 360 into this whole other, you've like had many, this is a totally like two different lives. So welcome.
Thank you.
And she has a book, Living Grieving. And so I have gotten into it a little bit. And so just tell us a little bit about this journey that you went through.
So I think like a lot of people, I think we kind of give up what maybe we wanted to do when we were growing up. I thought I wanted to be an archaeologist, anthropologist. And in that time, of course, that was a long time ago, no internet, no email. So my parents kind of talked me out. I was an only child. And said, oh, no, that's not safe for women. Do something more, right? Do something that makes more money and safer and all those things. So I kind of got plugged into the law and climbing that ladder, even becoming a federal administrative law judge in Washington, D.C. And then my son passed away. My 27-year-old son passed away of a heroin overdose. And it changed everything. And sometimes we talk about death being a doorway, illness being a doorway. And for me, it was a doorway into a spiritual world that I really had turned my back on. I really didn't want much to do with traditional religion. I didn't want much to do. I figured, you know, alive is alive, dead is dead, as far as I was concerned. Right. And so I just was kind of kept on going, thinking, oh, I'll probably work till I'm 90 here, and driving in the second worst traffic in the country. And so it really, his death just threw me out of my world, and in a really beautiful way. So I saw him. He came to me after he passed. I was sitting in an airport trying to get back to the U.S. from South Korea. I'd been on vacation. And
how terrible too. I mean, you've got this 10-hour flight and you already knew
night is day, day is night. I found out at night I couldn't get a flight till the next morning. So I didn't get home for 24 hours. So I was a complete wreck for 24 hours. And while I was waiting in the airport, he shows up just like he looked in life, right? His big old grin, and he's right there. And I said to my ex-husband, I said, you know, I think he's alive. I think he's trying to get out of that refrigerator. I don't think he's dead. You got to go. You got to call the ME right now. I think he's trying to tell me he's alive. So very kindly, the ME went and looked and said, I'm sorry, but, you know, he's gone. He's not trying to get out. And it was a doorway for me into life after death, that there is more after death. And I think a lot of us are afraid of death. And so to be given that gift that there is more, there is life after death. And as I've worked with Ben, that it's a wonderful life. And he's actually happier on the other side than he was here, is very comforting and very, you know, wonderful. And so it just led to a journey where I could sense and him around me, but I couldn't hear what he was saying. And so I ended up going to a medium and I said, he's right there. He's standing there. He's moving his hand over your candle. See your candle flickering. That's Ben. Can you tell me what he's saying? And so we had this wonderful conversation and it really sounded just like things he would say. And then after, she said, you know, you might have some skills yourself. Not many of my clients know that their loved one is standing right there and trying to communicate. And so then that led me to all sorts of spiritual things, the Kabbalah, mediumship, anything you can imagine. But I really, my goal was to talk more to Ben.
Of course.
Right? But yeah. Along that path, I learned not only talk to him, but lots of spirits on the other side. And now I do shaman work and I actually help souls to transition, souls that get stuck in between, people who have just died and would like a little assistance. And so it's been this incredible big journey. And that's one of the things I thought. I ended up selling my home and auctioning off all my goods or giving them away and traveling the world for 2.5 years, trying to make sense out of death and grief. And how was I supposed to go on? What was I supposed to do?
Yeah. I mean, it's also really interesting because it's like two worlds that you were in before. I mean, I just wanted to go back to being the federal judge because, you know, I just find it so fascinating. Do you ever look back on that person and say, and see moments of yourself where you weren't connected and that you're like, wow, I might've made different decisions if I was connected. And I'm really kind of fascinated a little bit about that because you're two different people now.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, definitely I'm doing healing work now and teaching spiritual shamanism and all those things. And, I don't even remember my 40s. I think that's the sad part, raising kids and having the sandwich generation with the parents and all the things, you know, for school and all of those things that we do that we kind of busy, take care of on the weekend, do this, do that. I just lost my 40s. Wow. And I wish I could get those back. I wish I could visit my children during those years. I wish I could visit me during those years. I wish I could live those 10 years again, but I just lost it. I just lost them.
And, you know, part of maybe what you've learned is that you were kind of, like you said, you know, your parents kind of helped guide you into this place that was going to make you financially stable, but really wasn't supportive of any type of outward spirituality. So now that you have that, where do you go from there?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it just gave me meaning and purpose. So where I've gone from there is helping others. So that's why I do these podcasts. That's why I wrote the book. There's always somebody that needs to look at death and dying in a different way, that needs help in going through that journey through death and seeing it as a journey, because our culture is not very kind to people who are in mourning. It's sort of like, oh, here it is again. Oh, that's sad. That's icky. Do we have to talk about that? Let's not talk about that.
What? No, I know.
Right? Let's talk about something else. Let's have fun. And so I ended up telling people, think of me as a zombie with only half a heart. Zombies don't go to movies and they don't go to dinner and they don't go to lunch and they don't have fun. Just leave me alone, right? I'm just not able to participate in life and pretend like everything's okay when it's not. And yeah. So we profoundly make people around us uncomfortable. And that's part of our problem. And that's why people become isolated in their grief. They become, they stay at home. They make their home into a shrine. They stop going out. They stop participating in life because we realize people become uncomfortable. And so what I like people to know is that there is a way out of being totally stuck in grief. There is a pathway that you can take, and there are exercises that you can do to become lighter, become unstuck, actually create a new life out of the ashes of the old.
It was interesting because I signed up for your, on your website, your Karen Johnson website, and I got an email about grief and the talking points about grief. And just as I was doing that, my cousin in England found out that her husband's mother passed away, and he's South African. So they had to go to South Africa, and she was just already in fear and terror to have to go to South Africa. There's a lot of turmoil. And then all the shame that he didn't get to say goodbye to her and all this stuff. But I literally just copied and pasted what you had sent me, because it was literally at the same time, and put that in there as well to talk to her. Cause you know, it was immediately going into this fear, and that's what she was carrying. And I was like, you can get through this. You can be strong for your partner. And you can see that she went out on her own, in her own terms, because she had actually just found out she had lung cancer like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, gosh. So,
you know, to me, without looking into it spiritually, but just as in knowing the pattern, the soul was like, I'm not going through that. I'm going out on my terms. And I've done this. This is what I wanted to do. And, you know,
I'm ready. Yeah.
And to go back, and sometimes we say it, to go back home to the original home of where we came from. So I'm really interested in becoming a death doula, is something that I've been exploring. So, and that's been only recently, because I worked in a senior living community for a little while over there. And I just saw there is a chunk of people that have like a peace with it, that they're kind of okay, and then there's a lot of people, almost the majority of people, that have fear, and not only the people going through it, but then the family members.
Yes.
So you want to talk a little bit about that part?
Yeah. So, you know, with shamans, we always say we don't just have the person who's dying as our client, we have their entire family. And so a lot of what people haven't had an opportunity to do is say the I forgive the give yous, I love yous, all the things that we would like to say to people in the past. Who would you like to have around your bedside? What things are unfinished business? And we also do things like opening chakras, raising their field, sending on spirit flight, is sort of like an introduction to the way home. Wow. So that when they actually pass, they can, and we've put light in their chakras, and so they pass very lightly instead of in fear and heavily. So we work a lot with the one who's in the process of dying before they die, if we have the opportunity to do that. And even if we don't have the opportunity, we can always go back in time, because shamans work E=MC². We're always between the worlds of energy and matter, and in that time is a pretzel. So the future and the past and the present kind of are all one for us. And so we work with people to make that happen so that people can pass really lightly, or work with people that may have passed a long time ago that may be stuck, and help bring them and send them off to the light in a very beautiful way. So the shamans see death in a different way. It's just kind of getting people through that portal over to the other side. And some people say, oh gosh, my loved one's been with me. I can feel them. I don't want to send them away. I want them to be with me forever. I want to keep them. And I say, so that's that. If you sign up for my website, it's like the 8 things spirits on the other side wish you knew. And one of them is, as you remain stuck in your grief and despair, so they remain stuck on the other side. You're kind of holding on to their kite string. So what if you visualize letting go of their kite string so they can be really happy on the other side and do things like meet with ascended masters and do fun things? It's not eternal slumber. And I've never seen hell. I think hell is what we create on earth.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's exactly what, even as a little kid, I would tell people, there's no hell. This is hell. This is right. In a way, is like, this is where we work out our karma. There's so much bad things that happen on earth that it couldn't have been worse, right? To me, you know, murder and all things,
terrible. War, famine, pestilence, plague, all that.
Yeah,
slavery.
And so it was us working it out, you know, and moving into the compassion and light and also I think sometimes our job is to just be this compassionate barometer that doesn't shame other people when they're not ready. The other thing I'm getting lately is I see so much shame, especially on social media, if someone doesn't believe, or even if they make a mistake. You know, sometimes if you accidentally say a word and everybody knew you intended one thing, but they jump on it, they knew you meant something else, but then they're like, well, and then it's like, oh, that's actually just a typo or an error. You know, it's that they're almost like so willing to jump in and shame people. And they don't realize that that shame is not just being held by them. It's being held by the person that's doing the shaming as well. So if people are ill or unhappy, or, you know, you have to take a look at all the things that you're putting out. And do you guys, you teach that as well?
Yeah. You know, shame, blame, build. And really we talk about it in terms of projection. So we project onto others the aspects, the unhealed, the shadow parts of ourselves. Oh, she's so this, she's so mean, she's so this, she's so trashy, she's so... Oh, so if you turn that around and say, what part of me don't I like that I see as trashy? What part of me do I see in her? So it's the goodness, it's the light and the dark. So, you know, just the same, look at somebody and say, wow, she's so smart, she's so intelligent, I really love, she's so fantastic. We're seeing parts of ourselves.
Mm.
So when you look at it that way, then you can kind of step back a little and say, huh, just like me, they're trying to get through this world. Just like me, you know, they've got a mask up. Just like me, they're hurting inside, you know, just like me. So once you realize people are just like me and you go behind the mask with people, then you have a lot more compassion for yourself and for them. And you don't need to do that shaming thing because you're really shaming yourself.
I simply like to say to people that I really believe that most people are doing the best that they can with what they have.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that if you feel something, you can't have your own truth. It's just, you know, and seniority, because that's also really important, you know, but you can speak your truth in a way that's compassionate and not shameful and bring it back to yourself and say, hey, you know, this is a way that made me feel. You might not have meant it that way, or, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. But there's always ways that you can approach things that are a little bit lighter and more compassionate. And it doesn't cause a lot of resentment and conflict. Because I think what we're doing right now, a lot of times is this, we're throwing out conflict and then we're just letting it just kind of, it starts to bubble like a pebble into the water and it starts to spread that conflict and resistance. And then everybody's kind of jumping on and that's kind of the stuff that I like to work on and talk about. But so, you know, through your journey as a shaman, what are some of the other aspects you can explain about your teachings or your journey on, you know, even saying, what was the first time that you said, I am a spiritual being or I am a shaman? Because I know that must have been like a huge day.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe it was, I talked about this in my book. I went on vision quest with the Lakota in the mountains and had a 3-day fast. And at the end, it came down the mountain and you have a giveaway, something you give to the fire, something you release. So I released my judicial robes. I burned them.
Oh.
And so that was so big, freeing me from the past, freeing me from that, freeing me to go forward in a different way. And I think that was the first time I tried it all on and said, oh, wow, I did this. I made this transition, right? And then it was more, you know, the continuation of that journey, which has been just amazing, right? So here I spent 30 years traveling back and forth in the second worst traffic in the country to living in the woods, living in nature, right? And teaching and writing and doing podcasts and, right? Just free in a different way for my soul to thrive. That's my soul's longing. So I always ask people to get in touch with, if you say to yourself, if you could do anything, and you don't have to worry about money or family or anything like that, if you could do anything you wanted to do, what would that be? And for me, it was kind of going back in time to that younger version of myself and saying, I wanted to be an anthropologist, an archaeologist, and travel the world. So I thought, I'm going to make that happen. That's what I want to do. I'm going to travel the world. And, you know, I'm going to, maybe I'll have a blog. Maybe this, you know, attended this book that turned out to be a book will be a blog. And it was just magical. As soon as I made that decision and I put on my papers for retirement, it was like gale force winds ripped my back.
Yes.
It was a buyer's market. It sold in 3 days, full price, as is. I was out the door 4 weeks later, all my stuff gone. And I got this opportunity to teach with the Four Winds. So it was like, wow. Everything just came, you know, it's like, I'm making this transition. This is, you know, it's like saying yes to a different version of yourself and putting it in place. Sometimes you have to tell the universe that you're serious. Like putting my house on the market, I was like, okay, I'm doing this. And putting in my retirement papers, I'm doing this, right? I'm going to make this happen.
And it doesn't have to be so dramatic, like a whole ceremony. I have literally an envelope with yellow stickies that I've written things that I want help on, and I fold them up in, and I have a constant envelope going on, and I ask my guides. And so that if like, well, if you're not sure what I need help with, is in the envelope that says spirit guides.
Yeah. You have a free moment.
And I open them up sometimes, go, oh, that one is done. I already did that one. Okay. I can do a new one, but I constant. And it's, so it doesn't have to be like this overwhelming ceremony and things like that, that people kind of get overwhelmed by the process. I want to make sure I do it right. I just do yellow stickies, make sure my house sells is what I want it for, you know, things like that. Please help me, guides and angels and things like that. So I think that's interesting, fun.
Yeah.
For sure. I also wanted to go back to Ben because I really feel like he kind of co-authored this book in ways.
He did.
And I felt his energy. I lost my brother as well at 29. And it was, you know, through an alcoholic kind of 29 years old, you know, leaving this earth. But so I had a very such that age where they leave in a kind of a traumatic way. And so I was reflecting on my own relationship with my brother. And but I just really felt like he is sort of like your partner in crime.
He is.
In this whole thing. And that he's so amazingly proud of the person you become and what you're, and on the other side, you know, I actually can see him almost with other spirits saying, my mom and I are really helping the world, like doing this and that. Yeah. I think he's just so proud of the transition.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he actually, Kay, I was giving rites in Chile to students and my mentor, Alberto Viotto, said, I was watching Ben behind you and he turned around to him and said, I'm so proud of my mom.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. I'm just so
happy. I know. And he and I work together. Like if a soul gets stuck, a lot of times souls get stuck if they have an unexpected death or a suicide, traumatic death, and they're just not sure. They've heard all this stuff about hell and they're scared or whatever. So I can call him down and he and I work together to say, he'll say, hey man, it's not hell. It's beautiful on this other side. Come with me. I'll show you the ropes.
Wow.
How to do it, you know? And so I can open the portal and he goes and he shows him through and it's really fantastic. And so we do a lot of work together, which is amazing. And then sometimes I bug him like on his death day or birthday, you know, oh Ben, oh, I missed you so much. Blah, blah. So finally the last one he came, he said, Mom, you're kind of being a bummer with this. You know I'm right here. Okay. You need, you know, and this is where I get this, you know, where he said, you know, I'm having fun. You know, I'm on the other side. He said, I'm in the Jesus pod. And we weren't particularly religious. I wasn't religious at all. I'm in the Jesus. And it's not like the Bible. It's not like anything, but he's really cool. So don't ring the doorbell unless you need me. Okay. All right. That way.
Yeah, because he maybe has to transition slightly to do the projection down here is like a little bit of an effort when they're
I'm in school, mom. I'm in school. I'm doing stuff. Like, you know, I'm in spirit college. Let me be.
And also, I think you might be the person to answer some of this is, you know, say for example, there's a soul that's done some really, really bad things, you know, and we've got some bad things going on right now. You know, I talk a little bit about like the mass shootings and things like that. People don't like to talk about the people that are actually doing them because they don't want to give them any airtime. But I actually think it's really important to look at why all those things happen, why those people actually stopped loving themselves, because you have to stop loving yourself to do something so horrible first, yeah. Right? And so as a community, if we can learn why that individual fell through the cracks or felt unloved, or if there was anything else we could have done to provide them. And it's one of the reasons why we do this podcast is maybe that one person who's having the suckiest day of their life might catch this and see that, hey, we see you, even though we don't know you. We are a collective community tribe here to help you and share love and information and insight. And that's why your story is so fantastic. I mean, no, you know, to do a 360 journey in this lifetime, that's not what you hear about a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, we're capable of great change. You know, you've heard of maybe growing up, oh, a leopard can't change its spots, but we can. We can. We can change our spots. We can become who we wish to be, who we want to be, who we long to be, who our soul longs for. And so, so for anybody who feels like they're hopeless and their situation is terrible, it's never hopeless. There's always somebody to reach out to. And, you know, people can reach out to me and other shamans and different people to help you through these times. You know, it's, I think people feel, especially young people, like there's no hope. The world's going to heck, you know, and, you know, they blame others. It could be this group or that group, and it's them, it's us, and it's them. And they get into this convinced it's this mindset. And so to work through that, where does that really come from? It really comes from fear, right? Yeah. They're afraid of what's going to happen. They're afraid of their future. They're afraid they have no life to look forward to.
And I do think we're in a time of transition. I think the earth has a soul as well, and the earth is transitioning, and we are going to see other things happen. And the more we can come together and be a community and a tribe, we're going to be able to weather whatever happens. And just, you know, so to say, a lot of people will be like, I wish it was like back the way it was like 5 years ago or something. It's like, that's not going to happen anymore. The world is changing, so we can change with it and learn, hopefully learn into the right direction.
The shamans in the Andes call it the Pachacuti, the time of the great turning over.
Oh, really?
They foresaw this and prophesied about this time. And so, you know, this is the time where it can go either way. We can go to great beauty and togetherness and collectiveness, or we can go completely into destruction. And so the more of us that collectively are working toward coming together, being together, so that we're changing this world into a positive future instead of a negative one, the better.
And I just want to go back to, I think what I was trying to say in my last little thing there is I have some friends or people that I know that haven't been a part of what I would call light or spiritual journey. They kind of tend to go into the gothic and the dark. And so they feel, oh, I'm already on the kind of dark. I've done some bad things. I really am already kind of there. And they don't realize that none of that really matters, that they can literally all that can really just be washed away. They can work through it later on, but that doesn't mean that you can't move into something more gentler and beautiful, you know. Mm-hmm. They kind of put this cloak on and say, oh, I'm already bad.
Right. I've already done this and there's no way out. But, you know, we've all done bad. We've all done great. And if we look at the things that we've done and we say, oh, get the lesson and the gift. And so that you can be in gratitude, not forgiveness. Forgiveness is highly overrated because that means you've been a victim and victimized. And many people have been victimized. They have very difficult childhoods and things like that. But if you can look at all that and say, wow, that helped make me this human that I am at this moment, this potential human who has capacity for changing everything, for changing their life and creating something positive.
So what else do you think that you can give that is on the other side for us?
Oh gosh, there's just so much learning and healing and growing. You know, it's like I said, men, the different pods, they can go wherever they want to go. They have friends. You know, he has people he hangs out with, people his age, and then he has mentors and things like that. So it's fantastic. I mean, he always seems really happy. And so even his pictures have, it's amazing, like have developed a luminosity. Like a picture of him that was just regular, now I have one on my phone, it's like light. He's becoming this light being. He's sort of fading away into light. It's amazing. So I really think it's not to say that we don't have our reason to be on this plane. I mean, we are special. We are one of the ones that got this soul and body combination, this earth suit. And so when you think about your life as being, wow, what a blessing. You know, spirits line up to come to earth and have this earth experience. And here we are. How can we treasure it? How can we make it more beautiful? How can we say, wow, this is fantastic? It's hard and it's wonderful. It's everything all at once. But I'm here. I'm alive. Right? Wow. Life is amazing.
I heard an analogy the other day that I thought was fascinating. That it was on my podcast with another guest, but it's really stuck with me. So I just want to repeat it because it's coming up. But that when they pick the souls to be on earth, they pick the strongest souls to be on earth to go through this journey. So what now in my eyes, I actually see everyone as you made it here because you were the strongest. You actually, like every single soul on this earth, people you can't stand that you're, you know, looking at say politics or whatever, it's like that person came here too for this, you know, we have to break down the separating ourselves from anyone else.
Yeah.
And if we can do that, that might help them do that too, because I think that's what's harming our growth is the lack of community and tribe that we originally had when we first came here.
Yeah. True.
And the big thing is the death part is ignored so much. It's almost, and plus people are living so much longer, right? But what death was such a rite of passage back in, you know, they would die in their 20s or 30s. It was a rite of passage. It was the elder. There was a process. There was an honor. And so I think that's what you guys are trying to bring back as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we know that other kinds of life-changing circumstances can change everything, like marriage, parenthood. We know that they're transitional. We know that they create new lives. But grief, we kind of put in this other category, like, oh, that's bad. That's nothing. But grief also has transformational energy that we can tap into. If you can tap into that energy of grieving and take that journey, I have 16 exercises in my book for people to really take a journey through grief and loss of any kind. You could be grieving the loss of a partner, the loss of a job, the loss of whatever, a person, a child, whatever, but it helps you to go on this journey so that you can come out of the other side and create this new life out of the ashes of the old one that honors your loved one. Because I think sometimes we get this idea, you can't grieve to satisfy everybody. If you grieve too hard, they say you need to be medicated. You're psychotic. And if you don't grieve enough, well, she sure certainly didn't seem to care very much. So you can't win. So you might as well go on your own journey.
Yeah.
And see it as a journey. Like nobody has the right to say, okay, you know, it's time to move on. Whose time? It's time to, let's not talk about that. I mean, you don't talk about it, but there's so many grief groups out there, you know, Compassionate Friends and other places that people can turn to get help with their grief. And I love to run my classes. I always have grief classes that are on Zoom and in community, because that way people can see other people and they're moving through the medicine wheel through all these 16 exercises. So we do it in about 4 weeks, four exercises a week, and they do it to see how other people are doing it, and they see how other people are grieving, and they get support and love and confirmation from each other. And that's a beautiful thing too, because as you said, we get very isolated in this world.
Yeah. Can you just touch base a little bit on what the four directions mean, and just so to get people excited about that type of work that you guys do?
Yeah. So this is the Andean medicine wheel, and the archetypal animals that are associated are ones from South America. So up here in the North, people say, oh gosh, I thought it was different. I thought it was bear and buffalo. And yep, that's true in North America. But in South America, we begin in the south direction, which is a little different here because it's the Southern Cross in the south that is oriented instead of the east in North America. And so it's the serpent. The picture of the serpent that sheds her skin, revealing this beautiful new sensitive skin all at once, grows mm-hmm. outgrows the old, right? And so sheds her skin and her past, all mm-hmm. the past that's holding you back, shedding it so that you can walk in beauty. And then we go into jaguar, mother, sister, jaguar. So jaguar is the fearless that ones that goes in between worlds, that has the front legs in this world and the hind legs in the next world, and goes across the rainbow bridge, helps us go between worlds, and is fearless, is that fearless warrior, one who fearlessly calls whatever is dead and dying in the jungle.
So we
fearlessly call whatever is dead and dying within us and let things go. So this is the idea of shamanism, you know, we're letting go so we can bring in new things and freshness. It's like the breath. And then we go to the north direction. That's hummingbird. Hummingbird is really your soul's journey. Wow. And your ancestors and ancient ones, those who come before us and those who come after us, even ourselves as ascended masters, getting in touch with that beautiful soul journey. And then we go to the east direction is condor eagle. And the eagle is the bird that flies high over the storms of life, never getting stuck, right? Looking around. So we want to be like eagle. We want to see the storm. We want to rise above it, always looking for a clearing. And yet being able to see the smallest mouse in the forest, right? And fly high over those mountains that seem like obstacles, so that we can reach our highest destiny.
Wonderful. With that, would you mind doing a little, taking us out with a meditation or some kind of a prayer?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. So I got my drum here.
Oh, I got a drum.
I got a drum here. Let me see. Can you hear my drum if I talk? Okay, great. So just tune into the sound of this drum, this ancient, ancient method of communicating, and something that mimics the heartbeat of your mother, the one you listen to in the womb. And begin to breathe gently in through your nose and out through your mouth. In through your nose and out through your mouth. And now when you're breathing, pretty imagine breathing in freshness, happiness, joy, and breathing out any heaviness, stale energies, anything holding you back. Breathe in. Breathe out. Continue to breathe. And now we're going to breathe in to the count of four, hold to the count of four, release to the count of four, and hold to the count of four. So we're really going to start taking some deep cleansing breaths and then holding. So let's begin on the count of three. One, two, three, breathe in, four, hold, release, then hold, breathe in, three, hold, release. Continue to breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. And imagine inviting these great archetypal forces into your life. Serpent. Oh, great serpent. Help me to be able to release my past. Just the way you release your skin. So that I can walk in beauty on this earth. Now invite in Jaguar, Mother, Sister Jaguar. Come, come, hump way, come. I invite you in all your wisdom. Pad gently around me. Let me feel your protections. Help me to release whatever is dead and dying in me, old ways of being, thinking, doing. The way you fearlessly call whatever's dying in the jungle. And imagine now turning to the north and calling in Siwar Kente, royal hummingbird. Oh, that hummingbird that represents stillness and flight. Can flap its wings and sit still. Maybe it's looking you right in the eye right now. And helping you find your soul's journey. What is it that your soul longs for? No longer nosing around the dung heaps of life, or only going to drink from the sweetest nectar. So imagine always looking for that sweet, sweet nectar. And now we call on condor, eagle, apashin. You who flies high over all the great storms of life, looking for the clearing, teach me your ways. Teach me how to fly high over all the obstacles so that I can find my highest destiny. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, all you great archetypes. Thank you for being with me and joining with me and showing me your ways so that I can live a life of beauty. Aho.
Thank you so much today, Karen, for your journey, connecting with us, giving us a little meditation today, offering your wisdom and guidance.
You are so welcome. Thank you for having me.
And this has been The Liberated Healer. My name is Gina Cavalier, theliberatedhealer.com. If you need anything, please reach out, and we'll link everything about Karen into all of her information so you can find her. And bye for now.
If you enjoyed this episode, you can find us online at theliberatedhealer.com, on Instagram at Liberated Healer Podcast, or on Facebook at The Liberated Healer. Give us a follow, subscribe, send us a message if you so feel, and thank you for your support. Yes.